Stay tuned as Dr. Gary Hedrick discusses the question, when will the end come? Right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. I'm Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick discusses Matthew 24 and the subject, When Will the End Come? I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now, with today's study, here is Dr. Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you. It's good to have you with us, listening friend, as we continue this series of prophetic studies. We're talking about the subject, when will the end come? And we're looking at this amazing prophecy in Matthew chapter 24, where we've come to verse 6. Now remember, the disciples have asked Jesus two questions. One question was about the destruction of the temple, and the other was about the end of the age. The disciples thought they were asking one question, because they thought these two events would happen at the same time. But whether they realized it or not, they were actually asking two questions, because the destruction of the temple and the end of the age would be two different events, separated by at least 2,000 years. So interwoven throughout this Olivet Discourse, we have the answers to both of these questions. And our Lord juxtaposes the two answers in such a way that the events of AD 70 become a foreshadowing of events at the end of the age. You know, sometimes people ask me, they'll say, is Matthew 24 history or is it prophecy? I guess that's the big theological debate between the futurists and the preterists or whatever. But is this history or is it prophecy? And my answer is simple. It's one word. Yes. Because it's both. It's history and it's prophecy. They're really one and the same anyway, because what is prophecy? It's just history written in advance. And yes, there are references in Matthew 24 to the events of AD 70, but it doesn't stop there, as we'll see as we get a little further into this. So here in Matthew 24, he's telling them, first of all, when the temple will be destroyed. That was the second temple, by the way. You see, in Jewish history, we have four temples. The first temple is known as Beit HaMikdash HaRishon, literally the first house of the sanctuary. HaMikdash means the sanctuary or the holy place. So Beit HaMikdash HaRishon is the temple that Solomon built. It was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. Then the second temple, or Beit HaMikdash HaSheni, is the one that Herod built when the Romans ruled Palestine. The work had actually been started by Zerubbabel many years before, but Herod was the one who really expanded and built the second temple into a magnificent edifice. Then the third temple, or Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi, is the Tribulation Temple. That's the one that will be built during the Tribulation and will be desecrated and destroyed by the Antichrist. And the fourth temple in Jewish history will be the Millennial Temple that's described in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48. So those are the four temples. And the disciples wanted to know two things. First, when would the second temple be destroyed? And second, when would the second coming of Christ be? So Jesus begins answering their questions by giving a series of signs. These were signs that would characterize the entire course of the church age. The first sign in verses 4 and 5 is religious deception. We talked about that last time. The second sign is in verse 6. Listen to what he says. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So the second sign is wars and rumors of wars, that is, international strife and conflict. But he says, all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. In other words, none of these signs alone constitutes a sign of the end. And when he says the end is not yet, he's giving them a very important piece of information because it shows that there will be, listen, it shows that there will be an interim period before his second coming. Remember, the disciples are still stuck on that rabbinic notion that all the prophecies have to be fulfilled at the same time. That was the teaching of the rabbis, and these were Jewish disciples, remember? But when he says all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet, he's showing them that there's an interlude between his first coming and his second coming. Now, they still don't know it's going to be some 2,000 years, but at least they know there's going to be some sort of interim period before the end comes. Now, look what else he says. Verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places." Now, stop there. Nation against nation, he says. The Greek word there is ethnos. It's where we get our word ethnic. It's a racial term. It has to do with different ethnic groups or different races. And it's true that there has always been conflict between races, between ethnic groups. But again, all these things must come to pass, he says, but the end is not yet. And that's not all. What else does he say in verse 7? "For ethnos shall rise against ethnos, and kingdom against kingdom." In Greek, it's kai basileia epi basileion, and rulership against rulership, kingdom against kingdom. It has to do with the quest for power. Then what else? "And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places," he says. It's three Greek words, lemos, loimos, and seismos. Famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. Famine is a shortage of food where people die of starvation. Pestilence is a plague of sickness where there is no cure and people die. And we all know what an earthquake is. So there are three more things, but in and of themselves, they are not signs of the end. You say, then why does he even give these signs if they're not indicators of the end of the age? Good question. And the answer is in the next verse, verse 8. Watch what he says. "All these are the beginning of sorrows." That's the key. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows is literally birth pangs or labor pains. It's like when a woman is waiting to give birth. How does she know when that baby is about to be born? By the labor pains or the contractions of the uterus. But there is also such a thing as false labor. You see, contractions alone are not a sign that the baby is about to be born. It might be false labor. So how can you tell the difference? How can you tell when that baby is really about to be born? Two things. First, frequency, and second, intensity. Frequency and intensity. When the contractions begin increasing in frequency and they begin increasing measurably in intensity, then you know the baby is coming. That's the concept behind this Greek word odain, or birth pangs. So Jesus gives these signs: religious deception, wars and rumors of wars, ethnic strife, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. But these things have been going on since the beginning of time. So when do they become signs of the end of the age? Very simple. When they begin to increase in frequency and intensity. And there's another principle he gives. We'll come to it later in verse 32. And that is, "When ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door." All right, let's put it all together. Here are all these signs: religious deception, international warfare, ethnic strife, power struggles, famines, plagues, earthquakes. But he says all these things must come to pass, but what? The end is not yet. So when do these things become signs of the end? First, when they begin increasing measurably in frequency and intensity. And second, when they begin occurring simultaneously. "When ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Now, the question everyone wants answered is, are we living in that terminal generation that will see the second coming of the Messiah? Well, let's think about it for a moment. The first sign was that of religious deception, religious confusion. Is it increasing in frequency and intensity in our generation? Think about it. There are more cults and false prophets dotting the religious landscape today than at any other time in the history of the world. Scientology, Ekankar, I mean really weird religions where they believe in things like astral projection and stuff like that. We were talking to a lady not long ago who goes to these meetings where they think their spirit leaves their body and they travel into outer space. This gal said she had been to a galaxy that was like 100 light years away from Earth. And this young lady is no kook. In fact, she's engaged to be married to a surgeon here in San Antonio, and he's into the same thing. And she told us when you go to these meetings, you find doctors and lawyers and CPAs and politicians and leaders in the business community. I mean, these are not people you would normally think of as weak-minded or gullible, but they go for this stuff. But this shows that we are living in a time of unprecedented religious deception. People are so naive and have so little spiritual discernment, they'll fall for almost anything. So do you think it would be fair to say that there has never been more religious deception than there is today? Oh, there's always been deception, all the way back to Nimrod and Babylon, just like there's always been earthquakes. But are we beginning to see a noticeable increase in the frequency and intensity of religious deception? If so, then it may very well be a sign that the end is approaching. But that's not all. There's more, and we'll get into it next time as we continue here in Matthew 24. Until then, this is your friend, Gary Hedrick, saying, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. You've been listening to Dr. Gary Hedrick discuss the question, when will the end come? How remarkable to think that some 2,000 years ago, our Lord prophesied the entire course of this age. How did he know the temple would be destroyed in AD 70? How did he know the destruction would be so complete? Not even one stone would be left upon another. How did he know about the diaspora and the reestablishing of the nation Israel some 2,000 years later? The only credible answer is that he was exactly who he said he was, the Son of God. If Bible prophecy interests you, you'll be glad to know that Dr. Hedrick's verse-by-verse exposition of Matthew 24 is available on one convenient CD entitled, When Will the End Come? It's available for a gift of just $6 or more to the Ministry of Messianic Perspectives. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on When Will the End Come? Right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.